Really excited about this morning, and I'm doing something a little different. I love it when the Holy Spirit challenges me to stretch my boundaries, and I'm going to play six videos for you today. So actually, the fact that the grades 4 to 6 are in the room here, this is perfect. And I want to just give you permission that you can laugh at some of the videos, okay? I know we're in church, but it's okay. Just take the mask off. You know, pretend you're in the living room and have fun with it. But what I want to talk to you today about is what do you need? And that title will become a little bit more clear. Really, what that's referring to is becoming like a child. And the older I get and the more I grow in the Lord, the more I realize that really the core of our identity in Christ, the bedrock, the foundation of who we are, is sons and daughters. J.I. Packer, one of these theologians, said that it is literally the apex of salvation. If you think of it, if I'm an ambassador for you, if Lucien says, I want you to represent me, and I'm going to go to his family gathering and say, this is what Lucien's wanting to do, you know, that would be one thing. But if Lucien adopted me, now Lucien's smiling, then that would be a little bit more intimate, because it comes with privileged standing, but it also comes with open-hearted connection and intimacy at the highest level of human connection. And that's special. That's what you and I have with God. Every time you just sit down and you get a few minutes to yourself and you think about that, that just blows your mind. Just to think that you are a daughter of the one that created everything around you. You are his daughter, the one that created the seat, the molecular structure, the existence, the time, everything. You are his son. And that just, oh Lord. In order for that to become real, to transform your life, you have to experience it. I can talk about it 52 Sundays a year, and it will not make an inch of a dent in your heart until you experience it. I know that we've heard this, but I'm just trying to lay a little bit of framework for what we're going to get into. And by the way, Don, that was really good worship. You didn't know this. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. You didn't know this, but I'm hoping, we'll see how the time goes, to end with that song. Don't worry, I have it cued, so you can just bask and enjoy yourself. But I thought that was really cool. Okay, your primary identity. Now let's turn, I'm going to just look at Matthew 18, verses 2 to 4. And I just want to introduce, I'm sure we've heard this before, but I want to introduce it from a little bit of a different angle and just unpack this a little bit. Starting from verse 1, it says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So you can just imagine, if you kind of take this apart, why did the disciples have this question? Well, they were probably sitting down and they were speculating, because they saw the kingdom to come would be earthly. Jesus would reign as king. The Romans would be pushed out. So they're starting to look at the qualifications for who would be your right-hand man, Jesus. We want to make sure that we're on top of this, that we are front and center, and we do our best to serve the mission so that we can be, you know, as far scaled up as we can. And, you know, Jesus could have said, well, I'm the greatest. Literally, he was the greatest. That wouldn't be, presumptuous or proud. He was the Son of God. But he didn't. He did something that flipped the disciples on their head. And he said, verse 2, then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. So he called a little child. Now just, this probably most of us would know, but in the Jewish culture, children were not of status. They were to be seen and not heard. They were not to be looked up to. They were really of non-status in culture. And until they grew up took on responsibility, they were just kind of pushed to the side. So Jesus calls this little one and puts them in the middle. Now that's significant too. He put he put this child right in the middle of them as something to look to, as someone, as an example for. And I'll just note this. At the end, verse 4 and 5, when Jesus points out, hey, this is what I want you to look at, this little child. This is the answer to your question. He then comes around. This is Jesus. This is the subtlety of Jesus. He comes around at the end after he's answered their question. And then he says, but if anyone offends or hurts one of these little ones, watch out. You're dealing with me. So when Jesus uses someone as an example, he shows protection and care for the one that he's pointing to. That's just a sidebar of how Jesus works all the time. We could learn from that. It's not like, okay, you're my prop. Come here. Okay, this is the one. This is the answer to your question. He even comes around after he's answered the question, says, hey, but just so you guys know, be careful how you treat the little ones, because they're after my heart, and you're dealing with my heart when you deal with them. Very neat. But anyway, so the answer to the question, verse 3, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted or changed, I like that word change, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's two things, a couple words I just want to unpack here. Become. He says, unless you change and become like little children. What does become mean? Well, it means to begin to be or to receive being as. So he says, unless you change and start to receive your being as a little child. He's talking to full-grown adults. To adults in their 30s and maybe 40s and 50s. And he says, unless you begin to regard yourself, your being, as a child, you're not going to enter the kingdom. And then if you look at humble, there's all kinds of different definitions that float around. But in this context, it's literally what it sounds like, to behave in an unassuming manner without haughtiness. Jesus points to him. Now, the interesting thing, and I want to start to turn our attention. We're talking about your primary identity. The enemy is out to get anyone or anything that represents Jesus on this earth. And we're going to look in the next passage of how the only passage that we know of where Satan went after Jesus' identity full on direct. We're going to look at some aspects of what it means to be a child. There's certain aspects. He said, I want you to change and become like a little child. Well, how does that relate to you and I in the way that we live? What does it actually mean to be like a child? Well, we have, things like, well, you got to be dependent on someone. These are all true. But there's two things that we know about this child when we read this text. Number one, this child is of low status. People aren't looking up to him. That's number one. Jesus, who was the ultimate child, the Son of God, left heaven and all the status came down to earth. That's number one. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. It is soothing. The second point here is needy. This child is needy. This child knows that they are dependent for life from their primal giver, whether it's a father, a mother, whatever. So they're needy. That's the part I want you to get here. They are needy. We're going to look at four needs that you have as a child that God designed you to have. And the only way that you are going to walk in the fullness of your identity is by continuing to swing that need over to Father God as a child. So let's do that. And of course, one other point here that I thought was really neat is every person's situation. If you go through the Gospels, every person's situation around Jesus tried to dictate, define, direct his identity to him. And the same goes for you and I. Everything in this world is trying to direct and dictate and define who you are. Your family, your children, your spouse, everyone. But there's only one person that can dictate your identity in a life-giving way that will transform your life and bring life to everyone around you, and that is Father God. Because you are his child. And if you're his child, that means that there's a real need to allow him to define and speak into your identity. Because that's what your children do for you. This morning, I thought it was really kind of cool. Brielle was fidgeting with the KitchenAid, and she was trying to get all the pieces to fit. And so I came over there, and she's like, "Dad, can you show me how to do this?" So, you know, I slipped it on. I said, "Okay, let's do it together." So then she did. Oh. So there was about 5 pieces. She said, "I'm going to do all these." So I left the room. And I come back a little later, and she's talking to one of her sisters, and they're like, "Did you do all the you know, the pieces?" And she said, "Yeah, I just did what daddy showed me to do." She was kind of bragging. Sounds awfully familiar. Jesus said, "Hey, I just do what I see my Father doing. I just say what I hear my Father saying." Jesus modeled to you and I what it meant to be a child on this planet Earth and to derive his identity 100% from Father God. And that's what we're called to. That's what we're called to. So, Jesus, the first child. Well, if you go to, let's flip to Matthew 3. And I love this. I love Matthew 3 and 4. It's just loaded with goodies. But we're not going to unpack it all. How many remember Matthew 3, verse 13? I'm not going to read it, but how many know when Jesus goes to get baptized? Right, just kind of talk you through. And John said, "Oh, no, you shouldn't baptize me. I should be baptized by you." And he's like, "No, all things must be fulfilled." And he baptizes him, and, you know, Holy Spirit, the dove comes upon him. And then Father God, voice says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Well, we know it was Father God because this is my Son. So that's the Father speaking, "whom I am well pleased." Now, I know for some of us, we've heard this taught, and this is maybe some of us, it's new, or maybe it's a review, but Father was speaking identity and definition into the Son of God, Jesus. And we'd say, "Well, yeah, of course, but you got to get this. If Jesus, the one that you worship, needed that definition while he was walking in his ministry on earth, how much more do you and I need daily definition and hearing, you know, from Father, hey, this is where I'm at. This is the way I see you. This is who you are." Can you see that? Of course, he was publicly honoring his Son without any performance requirement. We know that Jesus, well, we don't have it in the text, but that Jesus hadn't performed any miracles. And here, I don't know if you know this, but Jewish tradition, when a son turned 13, they would bring the man of the estate would bring their son to the marketplace, and he would call all the merchants together, and he'd say, "Listen up, hello, this is my son. I want you all to know, and I trust him, and when you deal with him, you're dealing with me." So when people were listening and saw this declaration of Jesus by Father God saying, "This is my son whom I am well pleased," there was a turning over the estate, and Father God was affirming him into his ministry and commissioning him to step out into the marketplace and release heaven on earth. And he's done that for you. He's done that for me. We're going to learn more about that in a sec. But because I know for some of us, it's like, well, yeah, that's, you know, some people, they just hear better, or some people, they just have a better, you know, they're more spiritual, or they have a calling, so that's all BS. So we can just throw that aside. We don't have to wrestle with those thoughts, but we need to replace them. We need to replace them. It's one thing to declare, "Oh, that's a lie," but what? Okay, how do you deal with a lie? You bring the truth in. So what's the truth? Right? If you don't have truth, then you just know that something's mistaken, but you're eventually going to fall over that mistakenness until you have the truth to set you free. Of course, if you go now in chapter 4, this is where we see, and this is now where we're going to bring the videos in for those of you that were waiting to see, okay, when's Dave going to bring these videos in? You're great, Dave, but we want to, you know, show us the videos. And I'm okay with that. That's cool. I just want to say one thing in chapter 4 is, you know, Satan saw the Son of God coming. And he thought, before this guy even gets lift, I need to make my best attacks on him. So I want you to keep that in mind when we read this text, that the best attacks that Satan could throw at Jesus were identity attacks. And in the same way that the Son of God received attacks at his identity level before he even started his ministry, are the same attacks you and I receive on a daily basis. And because we're in Christ, we have the armor of God. We are free in him to walk in freedom. But this all goes back to becoming like a child and learning what our needs are. If you understand what your needs are, you will function accordingly to those needs. But if you don't have a revelation that you're a child, and that being a child means that you have certain needs, you're just going to kind of walk along and try to figure out just like everyone else. And they're pretty straightforward. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." So, verse 3, first thing, if you are the Son of God, he's questioning who Jesus is. Hey. And he catches Jesus in the middle of a desert after 40 days of no eating. So Jesus is weak. How many of us feel weak some days? I had a weak kind of week. People ask me, "So how are you doing, Dave? You're preaching." Well, it was actually a tough one, but at the end of it, I was standing strong. Well, good you're being honest in church. Right? We feel it sometimes. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, this is one of the first needs that we're talking about. What is the need that we are actually identifying? We are identifying provision. Satan is going after a lever of identity. It is a gateway into identity. He's saying, if you think that you are the Son of God, prove it by providing for yourself. This is the same way it works in your life and in mine. Well, if you're a good dad, you should be providing more money every week. You know that, don't you? Because the guy down the street, he's going on a holiday to Disney World with his kids. So what kind of a schmuck are you? You don't have time to witness to your friends, to be that spiritual Christian guy, because you got to focus on provision. Because if you are a good dad, do you see how that happens? Just kind of slips in. It's all logical. You do the math and it makes sense. Yes, I do need to work harder. And I'll pray too, God, provide. No, you need to know that you're a son. And that as a son, he's going to provide all your needs. The security comes in knowing that you can go to him and talk to him about those difficulties, those challenges. That's where the security comes from. So, we're going to look at an example of this. And can we have some ushers maybe take the curtains down just so the light's a little bright? You can go ahead and start the first video there, Riley.
Hi.
Hi.
I was marooned on an island for 5 years with this package, and I swore that I would deliver it to you. Because I work for FedEx.
That's very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, well, by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again. You keep up the good work.
Okay. Good, we're laughing. That's a good sign. Okay, the heart of this provision need that we have is, will I be provided for? Will I be provided for spiritually? I come to this church any longer, will I be provided for? Is this relationship going to be enough? Will I be provided for emotionally, physically? How many can identify with pieces of this, where sometimes, man, we are in a situation where we feel like we're on an island. And it's pretty dry. I mean, there's no grocery store in this island. And we're like, It doesn't work. I don't know how we're going to get the provision, and we're stuck here on this island. You ever felt that frustration kind of boiling? If you haven't, you're either connecting into Father God and letting him meet that need of provision. You say, well, I've prayed to Father God and I haven't seen my needs answered. I'm not talking just outwardly. I'm talking about inwardly first. Hey guys, there's a lot of needs in our family that are not met. But I am walking in a level of security that is supernatural because I dial into Father God. And I have hard days. But I'm reminded, okay, Holy Spirit, thank you for reminding me. You're the spirit of adoption. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit reminds me, hey, go to your Father. Oh, Father God. Man, this pressure of provision and now the van and, oh, Lord. Father God, would you show me your perspective? And I'll tell you guys something. There is a security that begins to creep on the inside and nothing has been said. No vision, no picture. And I walk away feeling like $1 million. I remember doing that with my dad. I'd scrape my knee, I'd run over to him and just sit on his lap. That's all it took. And being in his lap, and knowing that he was, you know, he was stroking my head, and it's okay, Dave. I just calm right down. Whew, it's gonna be okay. You got a dad, and it has a practical outworking because you're his child. But what you do with the need for provision will dictate if you live in that reality of being a son. And it's just simply talking to him about it. It's not that profound, really. Because you're a son. Anyway, I could go into stories, but I don't think we have that time for that today. But I'm sure we all have our own set of stories. Okay, so let's move to the next. Let's keep moving through this passage. There's three more needs I want to talk about. Verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for he shall give his angels charge over you. Okay, now, we got to pull this apart carefully. He's saying again, if you are the Son of God, it's an identity attack. If you think that you are spiritual, if you think that you've got authority, prove it. How many times has that happened to us? Hey, if you really do know God, why are you hurting right now? Why did you fall on your back? Why aren't you loving enough? There's a whole list that just comes at you. Hey, if you think that you really are, believing God, why didn't you share with that person who was crying at the lunchroom table? Why did you chicken out and walk back to your cubicle? The list goes on, and it inundates us. And a lot of times, because we're not aware, the revelation is maybe growing that we're God's children. Sometimes we're not aware that that's a need that's got to be brought to Father God. So we kind of push it to the side, and then we can slip into all our own orphan defaults. So, when you look at this passage, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. This is the only passage in this chapter where Satan is going after, he brings Father God into the text. He brings him into the conversation. Is, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give, he's talking about Jesus' father, hey, your dad will send his angels to take charge over you. If you really belong to God, he'll take care of you. This is a belonging question. Show that you are accepted. Show that you are loved. Prove it. And the next video will show that. Go ahead, Riley.
This girl says, acorns. Lady, I'm cash only.
He was born with no face.
Just stab it. It's meat sushi.
Whatever you do, don't look in the trunk.
You're the herpetologist. You tell me.
And he says, Amy?
Do you have a cat?
Amy, do you have a cat?
All right, we need dip jokes.
Yeah, that kind of rich. Powerball from the New York Lottery.
Some of you are thinking, oh, there's new ways to spend a lottery ticket winnings. Is to hire a bunch of comedians, Matt. You in? And build up a little popularity by being able to crack jokes in every situation and make people like you. Because we all like to be liked. We all like to be understood. We all feel the need to belong. That's the second need. Number two is, am I loved? Am I accepted? Am I affirmed? Am I appreciated? Am I enjoyed, delighted in? Am I valuable? You were created with this inbuilt need on the inside of you. The left side of your brain scans your environment 6 times a second to confirm that what you believe about yourself is in the world around you. And when there is a breakdown in that, immediately you start to feel uncertain or insecure. Have you ever been in a conversation, you don't know why, but it just didn't feel right, and you feel insecure or a little bit uneasy? Maybe it was them, maybe it was me. Your brain. Spirit, soul, and body, you were designed to be poured into from a heavenly Father, to be told continually, and to be met at that need level, that you are loved, that you are appreciated. That's a valid need, but it's what we do with it that matters. We can go to Facebook. We can go to all kinds of different places to identify. And how many have done this, where we're kind of paging through stuff? We could read an article, look at a photo album, read a paper, go on Facebook, and we're comparing. Oh, wow, they're doing pretty good. They got a lot of friends. Look at how many friends are on their profile. I've only got 450. When did he get time to get 1,200? That's ridiculous. I need to start friending more friends. I mean, it's good, too. I'm reaching out to them, right? Sorry. You think, where do you get this stuff? Maybe because I've lived it. I'm a human being who breathes, and I have needs, baby. Hello. But what's that? Oh, good. Thank you, Lord. I'll check my profile when I get home. Better not lie. But isn't it true? I'm saying stuff that we can all identify. Why? Because everyone in this room has the same need. And the beauty of it is, the world out there is crying for, striving for, longing for, and dying for to be accepted, to be loved, to be cared for, to belong to something that is never going to reject them, that's going to show them their value. But they'll never find it in any other place except Father God's heart. And we get a chance to reveal that to them. I have seen, literally, when you go into the workplace, as you are dialing in on a daily basis and you are, you know, receiving that affirmation of acceptance and love, you change the environment where you go in without even opening your mouth. Literally, your state of acceptance and love and being valued changes the atmosphere in the room when you walk in to a completely secular workplace. People say, well, Dave, you talk about the kingdom, about, you know, reaching out and, you know, that whole miracle thing. I don't know, but, you know, I'm just like, oh, don't get yourself in knots. Just plug into Father God's love for you, his affirmation for you, his acceptance for you. Just every time there's that uncertainty or that, you know, that quiver, unknowing, go to him, say, Father, how do you feel about me? I did it this morning. I have to do it on a daily basis. Otherwise, it works on I feel that something's missing. You know, days go by and I haven't done it. I'm pretty raw. All of a sudden I'm feeling insecure. I'm not sure what's going on. Why? I need to sit on my dad's lap. If I'm really a son of God, a child of the King, there are legitimate needs that go with being a child. Just like everyone here who has children under the age of 10, your kids have legitimate needs that as parents you want to meet. And you want your kids to come sit on your lap. You want to show them that they matter. You want to show them belonging. Why? Because you know they need that. Well, your Heavenly Father right now knows that every day of your existence, you need to feel his acceptance, his love, his value. And you can't live without it. It's not an option. Why? Because you were designed with that need. Every day of your life. Hey, I don't have time, but sorry, I'm getting really intense. Svea laughs at me when I get intense. I just get excited. It's the excitement. Then I'll try to fit as many words in because, you know, the clock is ticking. But you know what's really neat is science is just unpacking some of this stuff at the brain level and the hormone level. And it's just confirming what we know. And it's all pointing to Jesus. Anyway, we don't have time for that. But belonging. Did we play belonging? Yeah, we did. Is that good? You know, as I'm talking, I'm trusting by the end of this morning, which is like soon, that Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you one of the needs that maybe you've tried to meet on your own. That's okay. There's no condemnation, because guess what? Father God has got, he's just there open arms. There's zero judgment right now. Zero. And there's times in my life where I'm struggling in an area. It could be provision or belonging or some of the others that we're talking about. I'm struggling in that area. And the one thing I haven't done is I haven't gone to Papa. I haven't gone to Father God and I haven't asked him to show me where he is in this situation. I haven't asked him to meet my need. Yo. Okay, so let's keep moving. The second part of verse 6, it's verse 6, B, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Very simple. And then Jesus, of course, comes back and says, Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Notice that Jesus is continually replying with the word of God. Now, I've preached this passage and said, hey, when identity, attacks come against you, stand on the word. Jesus stood on the word. Stand on the truth of the word and do not move from that position. And I would say that to you this morning. That's not the focus of this sermon, but that is one of the truths that you got to hold on to. That if there's an area and a need that you're getting attacked in, ask the Holy Spirit for truth and scriptures that you can literally carry around in your pocket, that every time that lie comes, you whip that out and say, ha, thank you, Jesus. This is the truth. Boom. Do it. I got to a place of feeling, to the point of suicide where I was in such a depressed mess. I had to carry those scriptures. You don't have to wait to a point where there's absolute crisis. Why do that to yourself? Why not eat the word of God, which is eternal life, carry it with you and be built up so you never come to that place on the edge of, of insanity and breaking down. So we're going to look at this next need, which is protection needs. And I think for some of us, we can really identify with this. Go ahead, Riley.
The Witness Protection Program. No identity, no house, no job. You will disappear from the face of the earth.
Could you please point Paul Colucci out to the members of the jury? Thank you.
Congratulations, Mr. Williams. We'd like to welcome you as our 100,000th president of our Meadow Falls.
Okay, now we had some volume cut out there in the beginning. I don't know, did most of you catch that? We can always watch it again. We're having a family gathering here, but whatever. The point of this particular piece is that he was put in the witness protection in the very beginning. They were telling him, if you will point out this gangster dude in the court, we'll put you in witness protection and they'll never get you. This gangster will never track you down with his thugs and kill you. Well, here this thing happens where he's on national television and people are taking pictures and everything. And what do you think he was feeling in that moment? He was kind of covering his face. Exposed. He wasn't feeling safe, right? He was feeling ultra vulnerable. Do we get into situations where we feel vulnerable? Is there relationships where we feel exposed and we want to avoid that? We want to stay away from those people? Are there situations that we don't feel safe, man, and we've just built our life in such a way that we'll never be there? When we feel, as this poor gentleman was feeling on his porch, totally vulnerable and like he's going to die. He's going to die. When we feel that way, we got an opportunity to go to Dad. And he's going to get a chance to speak into our hearts and meet that need for protection in such a way that no human being on this planet can meet. He's going to meet that need. like no one else. I'm telling you from experience, it took me 20 years of ministry and, getting saved at 5 and getting filled with the Spirit and doing all this stuff, but it wasn't until I was 38 that I actually got this revelation. It took me coming to the end of myself to realize that I need a daily interaction with my Father because I'm his little boy. And Jesus said, unless you change and become like this little child, you're not going to enter. It took me several decades to get that. Because I'll tell you, even as a pastor, I'd walk into situations and I could feel guns being raised at me and I didn't feel protected. I felt exposed and vulnerable. I felt like I was on the chopping block and anything I would do would be meticulously taken apart and I didn't know what to do with that feeling. But I know now, and you are in the same place, guys. Same place. And you will be world changers in your office, on your block, wherever you live, as we learn to let Father God meet that need for protection. Verse 8, and this is the last need that Satan goes after. He again goes for Jesus' identity. Again, the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, and angels came and ministered to him. Hey, that was neat, that thing on angels. Thanks, Elaine. Significance. You were all created with a need for significance, for purpose. Well, no, that's not true, Dave. I'm just being a lowly warrior for God. Hallelujah. It's nothing important I got to do. I don't want to lift myself up. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Notice that when the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest, Jesus didn't tell them, stop talking about that. Don't talk about, who's the greatest. He just redefined the answer and said, unless you become like a little child. It's good to have that drive and that need for significance. I put it in you. I want you to make a difference. I want you to live with purpose in your life. You have a need for feeling meaning. And this need really is all about, does my life have meaning? Does it have purpose? What's the reason for my existence? You know, I was listening to CBC and they were talking about a study on boredom. And they were just finding that people that live in long-term boredom in their life and it becomes dysfunctional, they start getting addicted to, social media and TV and different things and even more extreme stuff. They found that these people that were in that state had lost their sense of purpose in life. That was the first step going downhill. So are you in that place today? Are you just existing from one week to the next, and you've forgotten what it meant to have passion and purpose and significance in what you were doing? It's kind of weird when you ask some questions and the Holy Spirit's asking it, and you're just kind of watching now. Wow, Holy Spirit, there's a lot going on out there. Go ahead, Riley. We got to lighten it up a bit,
Melissa,
here.
The whales need your help.
I love whales!
Go, Melissa!
Hey, Melissa, now the trees need you. The ice caps are in trouble. Melissa, now the rhinos need saving.
Rhinos!
It's hard to be an eco warrior, but it's easy to drive like one. Introducing the most fuel efficient crossover.
That was my favorite. That's the best for last, eh? Especially that whale. Slam dunk. Wow. She goes flying, man. Oh, shoot. Oh, man. You want to watch it one more time? Let's do it one more time. Come on, let's hit it. I had a feeling this would happen.
The whales need your help.
I love whales.
Go, Melissa!
Let's pick it up, whales!
Hey, Melissa, now the trees need you. Ice caps are in trouble. Hey, Melissa, now the rhinos need saving.
Rhinos!
It's hard to be an eco warrior, but it's easy to drive like one.
Okay. I can send you the links if you're interested. I got a ton more. It took me a while to get all these, so there's another five or six we could watch. But, you know, one thing about her is, man, she must have been walking in divine health because she kept coming back for more. I mean, well, how do you do that unless you're supernaturally inspired there? But seriously, you know, it's that, can you identify with that continual, endless, is it phoneticon? Frenetic? Well, frenetic? Okay, frenetic. It's that continual frenetic movement to try to find something that gives us value, that makes us feel we have meaning. You know, I'll volunteer for this, I'll do that, I'll serve here, and then, oh, it feels so good, yeah. But do you find that when you play that out over a period of time, if this isn't your assignment and you're doing it, and it's good what you're doing, you're serving, you're giving your life, and then you come and you crash at the end. Because sometimes we're using those good works and those good activities to satisfy a need that only Father God can satisfy. And then we wonder why we're hurting at the end and burnt out. And I'm not saying that if God calls you stuff that you're not going to be hurting, and I'm not saying that you're not going to be tired. But I'm saying there's times where we get into things and we're doing them because the need for meaning and significance has not been satisfied by our dad. And we need to make sure that that need is met in him before we run out headlong into things. I've been learning to say no now more than ever in my life to ministry opportunities because, Father God, I don't feel like he's saying go there. So I don't go there. I don't care how good it is. I just want to obey my dad, my Father God. And so for all of you, and we're going to wind this down soon, for all of you, If that is a question in your heart and you're like, yeah, man, I've done that before, ask Father God to meet you there. Say, Father God, would you help me with this? I sometimes feel all this obligation, and every time someone asks me, I say yes without thinking about it, and I go home and I cry. I shouldn't have offered my help. How many have done that? I have. Yeah. And then you slug through it and you vow you'll never do it again. And then you do it next year all over again. And God wants us to have that need met so that when we do what we're called to do, it's dripping with love. It's dripping with love. Do I have a little bit more time to go over time? We got a couple more videos that could get good, you know? Thanks, guys. Our standing, I just want you to know, and you know this, but your standing today is that you are adopted in the Godhead. If you don't know that now, God wants to reveal that. But as I said earlier, it's not just a head encounter. I desperately need an emotional, experiential encounter. And even what I told you earlier, what they're discovering about the brain, the deeper rooted connections of walking something out are found on the unconscious identity emotional level. And the only way to access that part of your brain is through experiencing. So you can go to a million Bible classes, and unless the Holy Spirit has brought it real into your heart, if you're not, and I'm not, experiencing it on a daily, you know, experience, there's a gap, there's missing. And that's why, this is what I love, the second part, Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The Holy Spirit, I want you to know today, the Holy Spirit lives in you guys. So whether you know it or not, you're being led by him. And as you begin to believe that, you start to see markers in your day. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. He's leading there. He's showing me. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit is your guide into this whole thing I've been talking about. So the great thing is you don't even have to have a formula. You just ask the Holy Spirit if you feel weak, you don't feel connected to Father God, show me how to do this. All the needs need to be met. I don't know how to do this. Holy Spirit, would you show me? And he, as a spirit of adoption, will lead you to your dad. Just believe. By whom we cry, Abba, Father. See, it's the Holy Spirit that brings that connection into our being. Where we know, oh, man, I know I'm adopted. I feel that craving for his presence. I know his heart. I tell you, I went through decades preaching, seeing people get healed, saw hundreds of people get saved, and yet I did not have that conviction that I have today. So I know I'm not preaching to the choir when I talk to Christians, because many believers do not have a deep-rooted heart understanding and seeing their needs being met. And it's something that I'm learning. I feel like I'm a baby in this area of daily taking my needs to the Father. So we're all in this together. Hearing your Father's voice. Okay, there's two types of hearing I want to talk about. Number one, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. So God speaks to you. And I think if we raise our hands, most of us maybe can think of a time where we saw a verse or we had a picture or there was something where we go, my mind comprehended that Father spoke to me, that God spoke to me. But there's another kind of speaking. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 says, I pray you may have power together with all the saints to comprehend the length and width and height and depth of his love and to know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge. So when I ask the Holy Spirit, when I say, Father God, would you show me how you feel about me? That is what I am engaging in this verse. I am asking you, Lord, for an experience, an understanding that goes beyond what I know in my head. And it takes a faith. What do you mean, faith? That means that 20 seconds pass and I don't go, well, okay, thank you, Lord. I prayed that. I did that. Move on with my day. Or I just stay in that place of waiting, and all of a sudden, there's a subtle shift on the inside, and I start to feel that his arms, I'm just saying this metaphorically, his arms wrapping themselves around me, and I feel a security, a peace, a freedom. I'll tell you guys, I would love to find my psychology friends, and I'd love for them to do an MRI experiment on my brain, because I promise you on 1,000 Bibles that they would read different waves going on when I engage the Father and when I engage all kinds of fear and what I got to do and anxiety. You'd see a shift within seconds. I know it because I've experienced it. I've woken up in the middle of the night when crisis and church breaking down, all this stuff is happening. I've woken up at 3 in the morning and boom, you know how this is. You wake up at 3, boom, those thoughts are hitting you and you're like, oh, I can't think about them. I don't want to wake up. No. Can anyone relate to that? Okay. And those thoughts are coming a mile a minute. You're trying to resist them. You're speaking the word. You're doing that. And I just say, Father, how do you feel about me? And literally, it's like a slow drain on a battery. It's just like, all of a sudden, I wake up in the morning. What happened? Wow. This is for you. Because Father God wants to meet you at more than just a head level. He wants to touch your heart at that level where the need is. Okay. Now, I'm going to just show you one more video. And once you listen to it, this speaks to how God speaks to us.
Yo, comedian Michael Jr. here. As you know, I just flat out enjoy doing comedy. But one of the things I love way more than that is being a dad. Not too long ago, I'm going through some video footage, and I run into this video of my youngest daughter being born. Now, of course, I was there. I actually took the video, but I had never really experienced it from this perspective before. Now, look, we're in the hospital room. She's sticky and she's baby and all that stuff, and she's in the middle of crying. And then I speak up. I start talking to her, and watch how she responds when she hears my voice.
Okay, Portland, look, I'm right here. It's okay. I'm right here. We're doing just fine. It's okay. It's okay. I'm right here. Right here. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay, baby. It's okay.
That was pretty awesome. So check it. A few minutes later, the nurse starts working on her, puts her pamper on her, and I'm not saying anything, and she actually starts to cry again. Then I speak up, she hears my voice, and stops crying. Like, again. But I want you to notice what else happens after I tell her that I love her.
Portland, it's okay. It's okay. It's good. It's good. It's good. I'm right here. I'm right here. I am right here. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. It's okay. It's okay.
That's just phenomenal. Like, whoa. Here's the thing. We'll always have times where we're not as comfortable, probably even to the point of tears, where life is just heavy. The key thing to do in those moments is to be still and listen for the Father's voice, because He is trying to talk to you. And I can tell you what He wants you to know is that He loves you. All you got to do is open your eyes. Happy Father's Day.
Okay, so we're going to, I want to give you, I felt, and if you can just give 3 minutes, I work in Sunday school, so I love those wonderful volunteers, but I couldn't close this without giving us a chance. I'm not going to pray for you, because you're already a child. You don't need a prayer from me to do something that's as natural as breathing. Father God wants to speak to you, and He's going to give you a chance to listen. And He wants to meet you in the place of needs that you have as His child. So can you play that next video? It's 3 minutes, and then when it's done, I'll close in prayer, and we'll be dismissed.
Would you walk into the room? Shiria.
Oh, Father, we just love you so much, and we love you because you first loved us. And Father God, I thank you that all my friends here are your sons and daughters. And so we look forward together as a family to walking this week with adventure. Father God, would you help us? Would you help me? I need your help, Lord. Holy Spirit, I just welcome you to teach me how to let the Father meet my needs in every area, in every way. Pray you'd help all of us, God. Pray you just bless everyone that's here as we step out into this week, that as our needs are met, that we would meet the needs of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. There will be people coming up here if you need some prayer, and have a great week.